We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Goal to Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
You see the pink smoke.
Welcome on in, folks. Episode number 2. Of Pink Smoke. We got a lot to cover today. Been a lot of fixtures. Inter Miami has been involved since we last spoke. We have had 2 full games since our first episode of Pink Smoke. As I said, Mike Rizzo here. I got you until 7 o'clock talking everything Inter Miami. We're going to do a week wrap-up. We're going to do the week wrap-up here. This segment, we're going to go through all the games that Inter Miami played. We'll go through that first MLS matchup between NYCFC and then last night's second leg of the CONCACAF Cup between Inter Miami and Sporting FC. Inter Miami able to win that one with an aggregate score of 4-1. And once again, Lionel Messi all over the pitch. But folks, I did want to start with that MLS matchup, the first MLS matchup of the year between Inter Miami and NYCFC. We are going to play through some highlights, but I did want to say Toto Aviles, I thought, was the big storyline in this game. He scored the first goal, a defender. You know, I obviously in soccer, usually defenders get in and score on corner kicks, on set pieces. When the taller-ish defenders come on in and get their head on the ball and get it in the net. But he made a beautiful run with Lionel Messi, and Messi was able to find him for the score. Let's hear from our very own Ken LaVica. You can listen to Ken call every MLS English game right here on ESPN 106.3 on the Inter Miami Radio Network.
At the upper right edge of the area, extended. There's a play through to Messi. Outside the 6-yard box, and it's a goal for Inter Miami. A sliding finish for Tomas Aviles, and a perfect feed from Messi. It's 1-0 Inter Miami. 5 minutes in, an electric start to the 2025 campaign.
As I said, really a beautiful play all around. Toto Aviles making a great run from that defensive end into the box, and Lionel Messi finding the right hole to fit that pass in, and Aviles able to blast that one into the net. But the problem is Aviles picked up a red card in the 23rd minute, so he goes from hero to disaster. But Inter Miami was still able to get the draw in this one. Let's hear the NYCFC free kick goal. So what happens here, folks, Aviles gets called for a red card, and then NYCFC has a set piece right after the record. At first glance, it looked like the referee was going to give out a penalty kick, a PK, but it turns out it was a free kick, and NYCFC ends up finding the net. Let's hear from our good buddy Ken.
A free kick just outside the box. It's delivered to the right of the 6-yard box, and a set piece goal that was beautiful for NYCFC. The free kick was set to the right of the area, one touch, and Ustari is beaten. And NYCFC is drawn level at 1-1 in the 26th minute.
A good free kick goal by NYCFC tied it up 1-1. Inter Miami had a plethora of chances in that first half to get the leg up and on a 2-1 scoreline, but even playing with 10 men, Inter Miami found themselves on the front foot and in control of the game. But in the second half, a Jordi Alba turnover really led to disaster for Inter Miami.
Here's a giveaway outside the area, and a shot in after the turnover. NYCFC has taken the lead. A massive mistake in the back, and Alonso Martinez makes Inter Miami pay. He came up with a loose ball, dribbled right in on Ustari, and blasted it past him with a right foot. For the second straight season, Martinez scores here in Fort Lauderdale for NYCFC. It's Jordi Alba who lost the ball, and it's 2-1 New York City.
Inter Miami obviously down to 10 men, being down 2-1 in that game. But even when they were losing, I still felt like Inter Miami had a chance to come back and tie this game, even having 10 men. Usually in soccer, folks, when you're down to 10 men, you throw everything out the window. Everything that you wanted to do, your game plan, it is all ruined because you are down a man. But I'll tell you what, this is a resilient bunch with Inter Miami, and they were able to get a draw in this matchup right at the death.
Here comes Inter Miami into the left attack at half. Way got knocked to the ground. Here's Messi. Messi into the area. Played it through. Here's a chip and an equalizer. It's a goal for Inter Miami. It's Segovia with the finish. Desperation for Inter Miami pays off. From back to front, they go the length of the field and score. And they have drawn a point in the table. It's 2-2. And they do it at the death.
As Ken said, right at the death, one of the final moments of the game. There's 11 minutes of added time, by the way. They played 11 more extra minutes in this game after all of the stoppages. You had the goalkeeper for NYCFC in this game get injured. Took him about 3 minutes to get going. You had another referee review that took about 5 minutes as well. So there were a lot of stoppages, and they gave that game an 11-minute extra time, and Inter Miami takes advantage of it. Now, the man of the match, in my opinion, is Lionel Messi. Messi had 2 assists in the game. He almost scored a goal as well in that first half. NYCFC's keeper was able to make a beautiful play on the ball, and he denied Messi of having a goal and 2 assists in this game. But in a game, as I've mentioned a number of times now, where Inter Miami had 10 men, they dominated possession 59% to 41. They had a 2.5 XG compared to a 0.96 XG for NYCFC. By the way, XG expected goals, folks. 2.5 expected goals for Inter Miami compared to NYCFC's 0.96. And let's be honest here. Inter Miami mistakes, in my opinion, is the only reason NYCFC was able to get in. The red card, which led to a free kick for Toto Aviles. The free kick right after the red card, free kick, goal, as you heard. And then the second goal was an uncharacteristic, very weird and uncharacteristic turnover for Jordi Alba. Jordi Alba, one of the best defenders in the MLS, gives the ball away, which turns into an NYCFC goal. So in a game where Inter Miami was down to 10 men, they dominated and they found a way to get a final goal at the death and get a 2-2 draw. So that was the first game that happened since I've talked to you last Wednesday on our first episode of Pink Smoke, a 2-2 draw between Inter Miami and NYCFC in the MLS opener and home opener for Inter Miami. Now, coming up later on in the week on Sunday, Inter Miami will travel to Houston to do battle with the Houston Dynamo. And folks, coming up at 5:20 in 10 minutes, we are going to be talking to Glenn Davis. Glenn is the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo. We're going to get his thoughts on the upcoming matchup. We're going to get his insight on what we might see from Houston and the Dynamo, what they're going to do in this game. And I do want to ask him about Lionel Messi and the basically impact he's going to have on that stadium coming up in Houston, because let's be honest, folks, anytime Lionel Messi goes on the road in the MLS, he is going to draw a huge crowd. So game 2 of the MLS for Inter Miami coming up this Sunday, 7 o'clock. The ball gets rolling at 7:20. We're looking forward to it. And you could hear me on the call this weekend. Our great Capitan and Commander-in-Chief Ken Lavica will not be available for this game. So you could hear me on the call coming up between Inter Miami CF and the Houston Dynamo. Well, I mentioned that there was a game last night as well, and this was the second leg. This was the second leg of the Champions Cup tournament, first round, second leg of the Champions Cup tournament, with Inter Miami and Sporting Kansas City. Heading into this game, Inter Miami was already ahead on the aggregate, but they won last night 3-1. And I'll tell you what, the Messi magic was there at Chase Stadium last night. Folks, Lionel Messi had a beautiful volley goal in this game. Thank you to FS2, who had the coverage last night. Let's take a listen where their good friends at Fox Sports on the Messi volley goal, which made it 1-0 in the second leg of the Champions Cup between Inter Miami and Sporting Kansas City.
Allende's in the middle. Suarez back for Messi, off his chest. Messi!
It was a beautiful, beautiful play, as the play-by-play man described it there. A great pass into Messi. Messi is able to kick the ball in the air just slightly with his left foot, his dominant foot, and rifle it on in for the goal to make that score 1-0. Now, Inter Miami in control, up 1-0 already at home, but Jordi Alba and Tadio Allende were not done. Let's hear our 2-0 goal scorer here.
The return ball for Jordi Alba right into his path. Alba turns it infield. Jordi Alba in front, it scores! Tadio Allende for Inter Miami. 2 first half goals for Miami and in command in his second leg.
Allende getting in there, making the score 2-0. And quickly on Tadio Allende, I've told you multiple times on this show last week, and if you were listening to our pregame, halftime, and postgame coverage, Tadio Allende has first Spanish league-level soccer talent. It's La Liga, right? Celta Vigo is a team that is in Spanish Division I League, a.k.a. La Liga. Folks, that's where Kylian Mbappe plays. Vinicius Jr., that great Real Madrid team, the Barcelona team with Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. I mean, this is top-notch soccer, the league and the team that he is loaned from. And he's playing for Inter Miami with Lionel Messi, the best to ever do it, Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, and a manager in Javier Mascherano who knows professional soccer and the level it takes to be good. I think almost better than anybody with how great he was during his playing career. So I think Allende fits right into this roster, and you see that and hear that on display when you're watching Inter Miami. He was a force to be reckoned with in a lot of those preseason games, and it's not surprising to me at all that he was able to find goal in this game. More often than not, Allende is going to be at the right place in the right time, especially when you play with a player in the midfield like Lionel Messi. Now, I understand Messi more often than not plays on that right side, but folks, he leaks towards the middle. He's always making plays and dribbling towards the middle and finding open men. Messi's passing is just, I'll tell you what, it's, I don't want to call it like the Barcelona days, but my God, Lionel Messi, he has the ball on a string, and his through balls that he's had so far this season have been a force to be reckoned with. And he's been playing a lot too. Like, Messi, he did get subbed off in the 68th minute last night because the game was already in hand, but he played the full 90 minutes in that game versus NYCFC in that first MLS matchup. So I think this is going to be something we're going to watch all year long, is how long Javier Mascherano, how long he's going to be out there on the pitch in some of these games that he does start. Let's move on to the next highlight. This was another beautiful goal for Inter Miami in this game. This time, it was our good buddy, Luis Suarez.
This comes into the box. Another chance here. It's Suarez! Inter Miami, 3 first half goals. This time, Luis Suarez.
That one happened in extra time. 48th minute, Luis Suarez able to find the net, and that score was 3-0 heading into halftime, and they were able to hang on and win this game 3-1 with goals from Lionel Messi, Tadio Allende, and Luis Suarez. Now, Sporting Kansas City was able to get a goal. It was Memu Rodriguez, the midfielder from the U.S., 29-year-old Rodriguez able to get a goal in the 63rd minute, but obviously Inter Miami not wavering in this game, winning by a score of 3-1, and they will advance to the second round. Inter Miami, the club will host 2024 CONCACAF Caribbean Cup champion Cavalier FC on Thursday, March 6th at Chase Stadium before playing the second leg at the Stadium Eastfield in Kingston, Jamaica on Thursday, March 18th. So these next Champions Cup matchups for Inter Miami against CONCACAF Caribbean champion Cavalier FC. March 6th is the first leg. That's going to be at Chase Stadium on Thursday. And then the second leg is going to be 1 week later, Thursday, March 13th in Kingston, Jamaica. Should be a pretty good matchup coming up for Inter Miami CF. I mentioned that we are going to be talking to Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo dropped their first MLS game of the season to Dallas by a score of 2-1. But there are a plethora of things I want to know and pick Glenn's brain about this club, the club we're going to be seeing coming up on Sunday. As I mentioned, I will be on the call for this game. I invite you all to make sure you're listening to ESPN 106.3 Sunday night with the English broadcast. Before we hit the timeout, let's go through a couple of advanced stats. Let's go through some advanced stats with Inter Miami and their matchup against Sporting Kansas City. Right down the middle. With time of possession and ball possession, 50% Inter Miami and Sporting Kansas City. 6 total shots for Inter Miami compared to Sporting Kansas City's 11. 4 shots on target for both, but the big difference, Inter Miami, 4 big chances compared to Sporting Kansas City's 1. And an avalanche of goals in that first half with Lionel Messi, Tadio Allende, and Luis Suarez made this one 3-0 at halftime and really gave the game in hand for Inter Miami. As I've mentioned, the next matchup for Inter Miami will be against the Houston Dynamo. We're going to be talking to Glenn Davis, play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo coming up next. But and also the Inter Miami versus Cavalier FC next Wednesday, the 5th in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then the next matchup is an MLS matchup at Chase Stadium between Inter Miami CF and Charlotte FC March 9th. At Chase Stadium. Folks, let's take a quick timeout, and when we return, we will be speaking to Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo. Keep it locked in right here, folks, on the Pink Smoke with Mike Rizzo. When you see
the pink smoke. This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke. Mike Rizzo, your host. It is now time to go to the hotline and bring in our buddy Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo, who is, a pleasure to speak with. I've followed Glenn for a long time now. I had a lot of buddies that have lived in Houston that have been following the Dynamo and really know Glenn's voice worldwide. Glenn, how are you tonight, partner? Thank you for coming on Pink Smoke.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me on the Pink Smoke, and we're very excited down here with a big week.
Now, Glenn, walk me through what happened in the first MLS matchup with the Houston Dynamo in the Texas Derby facing off against FC Dallas. It was a 2-1 scoreline, this one ending well after the Inter Miami game. What was the thing that stood out to you the most in that loss for Houston against FC Dallas?
Well, Houston's in a rebuild, let's face it. I mean, they lost two of their best players. Hector Herrera went to Toluca in Mexico. Coco Carrasquillo went to Pumas. To me, it was a typical kind of first MLS game. I think, you see a lot of mistakes, some decision-making that's not great. In fact, the Dynamo, basically, I think it was self-inflicted, the 2 goals that they conceded to Dallas. But it's a very, very different team. They started this game without 2 starting defenders. They had a rookie start who got through it pretty well. And then they had a mistake at the back. They've got a new goalkeeper. So there's a lot of different things going on here. Not excuses, but the Dynamo sold off a lot of their better players. And I think the real question is going to be, with what you replace them with, how good will you be this year? And I think that's a question mark.
Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo, joining us now on Pink Smoke. Glenn, walk me through the style of play Houston is going to want to play against Inter Miami. Inter Miami is a team that loves to have possession of the ball. They love to find holes in the defense and really probe until they find their way into the back of the net and or into the box. And a lot of it has to do with Lionel Messi. Well, what's going to be the focal point for Houston to stop Inter Miami coming up on Sunday?
Well, I think there's a couple of things you try to do. I mean, look, if you've got a team with Lionel Messi, Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, and Luis Suarez up front. I mean, these are some of the greats in the history of the game, right? And it's remarkable that all four are on the field. And having watched them last night, you know, they all bring something very different. You know, Alba with his penetration on the left, still an outstanding left back. The balancing positional play of Busquets and playmaking from deep. Obviously, everything that Lionel Messi does. And then there's Luis Suarez, who's still as strong as an ox.
Right.
And can turn defenders. And, you know, it really is remarkable to watch these guys. But I think to deal with them, Houston, one of their best traits is that they're a good possession team. The problem is they're coming up against maybe a better possession team. When you have the ball, you know, those guys can't damage you. So they'll hope to have a good night of possession. I think one of the big areas that they could be successful in, although I don't think this is one of their strengths, is in transition, right? And we saw that last year, Inter Miami getting hit at times, committing players forward, and then somebody getting in behind their defense, or a good pass that bypasses midfield, and all of a sudden you got a bit of a, you know, a 3-on-2 or a break. But Houston's not really a transition team like that. So I'm looking to see if they might try to add that to their game. But they play a very narrow system. They try to stay compact. They try to kill space. And between that, a little transition play, and good ball possession, I think they'll hope to take the edge off them.
Now, Glenn, I'm a huge United States national team fan, and Jack McGlynn is really a rising star in that midfield. And it was big news when the Dynamo, I believe, bought him from Philadelphia. What could you tell me about the rising star, Jack McGlynn? And are we going to be, he was in the starting 11 against FC Dallas. I'm assuming he's an everyday player, every game player for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, very excited about him. He had a great game and a great debut. He is one of the guys that can hit and release somebody running behind an Inter Miami defense, because he's got a good acumen for hitting balls over distance. Excellent passer of the ball, very cultured left foot, on the fringe of the national team, as you said. And in Major League Soccer, as we all know, it's not a lot of Americans given the reins to be really the playmaker.
Right.
For the moment, he's the playmaker on the Dynamo, and he's the one expected to unlock defenses. Now, the Dynamo just signed an Uruguayan who's very familiar with Luis Suarez, because he played in the 2010 World Cup with Uruguay, and they ended up fourth with Suarez, and that's Nico Ladero. So we'll see what type of influence he has in the game, too. He's somebody that can unlock a defense as well. But McGlynn, I think it won't be long before he ultimately ends up in Europe, but I have a feeling one of the conditions on the Dynamo buying him was that he would be able to pull the reins a little bit and kind of conduct and orchestrate the team.
Now, Glenn, Amin Bassi and Ezekiel Pouncey, the two players that were up top, let's call it for what it is, in that first game for Houston, they had a nice little connection for a goal there. Pouncey with the assist and Bassi with the goal. Could they smell trouble for Inter Miami in this game? I mean, Glenn, to be completely transparent, the game against NYCFC with Inter Miami, two of the goals, the two goals in the game were given. And you had Toto Aviles make a play in the box, which turned into a free kick and a sending off, a red card. That free kick turned into a goal. And then Jordi Alba, who I think we both agree, one of the better defenders in the MLS, had an uncharacteristic turnover, which led to a goal. Are these two guys up top that are going to be able to make Inter Miami pay if that kind of, I don't want to call it a norm, Glenn, but it was a problem last year, and we saw it in the first game in the MLS of them kind of giving goals away.
Yeah, I think those moments you have to capitalize on, right? And you have to have quality finishers and people that can punish people, right? That's a concern with Houston. I mean, they are not a great goal-scoring team, and that is the big Achilles heel. They try to win games 1-0 and close matches, but they are not a team that has a lot of multi-goal games. They don't score a lot of goals, and that's what they're trying to unlock this year to add to a good collective defending and possession team. Ponce, you got to give him a little bit of a the guy has to play with his back to goal so much, because the Dynamo are not a wide team. They don't get a lot of width. So he's contending with a lot of center backs. And in fact, the goal you mentioned, he did a great job of battling two center backs to kind of get ahead on that and knock it down to the tap-in for Bossy. Bossy is an excellent soccer player, very technical. Kowalczyk is going to work his tail off. Aliyu, the winger from Nigeria. But these guys aren't goal scorers, and that really is the problem for the Houston Dynamo. They don't have a history of scoring goals. Ponce did in Greece, won every two games, but they've yet to unlock him. So they're hoping, I think, with McGlynn and Ladero now here, that could do something. But I almost think in the future they have to consider maybe changing the tactics to bring a little bit more width in their attack and pull some of those center backs off Ezequiel Ponce, the Argentine.
Glenn Davis, the play-by-play announcer for the Houston Dynamo and former player, is our guest here on Pink Smoke tonight. Glenn, from the outside looking in, there are a lot of things that probably impress you about Inter Miami. If you could pinpoint one thing, what's the one thing that you were very impressed about with this club in Inter Miami?
Well, when you're watching those four guys that, you know, you guys all get to watch down there, it really is pretty remarkable. To see world-class soccer players like that, that have won Champions Leagues, that have won World Cups, it really is remarkable to see them in MLS. But what strikes me about those guys is they still remain ultra-competitive from what I see. Those guys want to win. They're playing games as though it's their last game. I mean, Suarez is closing people down last night. You know, Messi's playing in 3 degrees. Not that you wouldn't expect him to do that, but these guys are competitors, and that's the thing that really jumps out to me after, you know, we can talk about every adjective in the world to describe how great of players they are. But they are definitely vulnerable in transition, and I think they're vulnerable in moments. And if you're a team playing against them, if you get those moments, you've got to punish Inter Miami.
Glenn, before we get to Messi, wanted to ask you about Javier Mascherano. Were you surprised when he got the helm at Inter Miami after coaching the Argentinian youth team and not really having professional experience?
Well, yes and no. Obviously he's had a lot of success with Lionel Messi. I think the biggest question here is you know, when you're coaching a national team or a youth national team, it's not a daily thing. So now coaching a club, it's every day, right?
Right.
So it's a little bit different. Obviously, I think his connection to Messi means a lot. He's Argentine. They've got that vibe going there along with the Spanish vibe. So I guess yes and no.
And then, Glenn, As Mascherano as a player now, I grew up, I'm 30 years old. I remember when he was with Liverpool, he's a centurion with Liverpool, over 100 games appeared, and then a three-time centurion with Barcelona. What impressed me the most about the El Jefecito was when he made the transition from DM to center back. When I believe Puyol hung it up for Barcelona, he slid in there and was able to be the center back. And I think that's one of the big reasons, Glenn, why they brought in Mascherano was because his commitment to defense. Do you think the defense will get better under Mascherano as the season progresses here and maybe the self-inflicted wounds might disappear?
I think that's one thing you certainly want to eliminate. By the way, I remember that. And you know, it was interesting because he did play center back and he was a small guy to be a center back,
right,
which, you know, a lot of times kind of jumps out at you, but he's a good positional player. He's a smart player. He was very versatile, excellent player, obviously. I mean, I think that's the easy thing for all of us to say is that, hey, this has got to become a better defending team. Well, how do you do that? Because look, the bottom line is this is an attacking team. That's not changing with the personnel that's out there. So do they find better defenders? You know, they've picked off a couple of Argentine players. But eliminating big mistakes, playing on a messy team like this, it's commitment to attack. You're going to be isolated a lot as a
yep.
defender, and you're going to be in one-on-one situations, and you're not going to have cover, and you're going to be expected to make plays. And your reading of the game is going to have to be certainly really sharp and positionally. But you got Busquets in front of you. That's part of his gig. But I think, you know, This team is built to attack. It's built to entertain. You're always going to have situations in games where you might be outnumbered and you have to come up with solutions defensively, whether as an individual or collectively.
Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo and former professional player, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Glenn, I'm on your Twitter. Folks, you could go and follow Glenn at Glenn Davis SOC X now, at Glenn Davis SOC. Your last tweet was, shh, quiet. Lionel Messi, arguably the world's most identifiable athlete, is coming. We are hosting at FIFA World Cup 2026, and Messi and Argentina won it last. Just saying. How big of a deal, and Glenn, we see this across the MLS, but how big of a deal do you think it is for Messi to be coming to Houston and for the crowd that might be there at the stadium coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, this is a huge deal. So there's a couple things. This will be the fourth time he's been here. By the way, in the Copa America against the United States when they blew the U.S. out 4-0, he broke the Argentine goal-scoring record that Batistuta had with an amazing free kick. Argentina loved coming to Houston, by the way. I heard that from a lot of people who were in and around the team. But it is a huge deal, and I said that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, the tweet, because mainstream media, it's Wednesday, has not latched onto this.
Right.
Yet, and that's a problem down here. We are hosting World Cup 2026 because we get amazing crowds for international soccer that hasn't translated over to the Dynamo yet. I mean, this will be a sellout, I would imagine. I don't think it's sold out yet, but it will. But I guess that was a little tongue-in-cheek from me because sometimes we miss these amazing opportunities to tie in all the connection that is to the World Cup that we will be hosting here, right? So you got Messi coming. You know, he's won a World Cup. You got Busquets has won a World Cup. You got Pelé, who played in the Astrodome here, who's won more World Cups than anybody. There's all these things that we seem to miss down here that have to be tied together, and it kind of bugs me. So that's why I was like, shush, don't say anything.
Right.
Kind of being a wise guy, not really. But the other thing is you got an Uruguayan in Nico Ladero, who's a phenomenal player, one of the great playmakers in MLS. And, he's been to two World Cups, and he's finished fourth, and he's on the Houston Dynamo, and nobody says anything about it. So that's me just having a little fun, I guess. But there's also a little bit of a serious element to it as well.
Absolutely. And Glenn, I totally agree. This should be stuff that's being picked up by the national media and stuff that's being talked about. I mean, in our own backyard here in the United States, you have one of the best to ever do it in Lionel Messi. And I feel like half the time that doesn't get the coverage. And not to argue, the MLS is a league. The MLS has come a long way as a pretty good league worldwide. Glenn, your thoughts on the MLS and what it's become here in 2025.
I want to tell you a quick funny story, and I'll get to that real fast.
Absolutely. We love funny stories on Pink Smoke.
My niece is married to Derek Jeter because she was a model, and she got invited with Derek out to the Inter Miami game. So I spoke to her, and I said, so what did you think of Messi? And she just said very cutely, she goes, oh, he's so much better than everybody. I thought it was pretty funny. It was cute, and that's because I'm her uncle, it was cute. But 2025 MLS, I mean, look, lots of excitement. I think this is a league now that certainly is becoming very much about Brazilians, Colombians, Argentines. I do think we have to be a little bit careful about the American player, but I do think to be where we are and to see how this has grown, it's been pretty spectacular. It's not an easy league to play in. It's a very different league than it was even 6 to 8 years ago. And I like some of the new rules that are being instilled where you can throw out cash and pick off a player. We saw some of that being done by teams. The Dynamo did that with McGlynn.
Right.
So I think some of those mechanisms to unleash the purse strings. Now, I will say this. It's a centralized league, and it is a league that allows investors to come in that don't have deep-seated passion for the sport. So I think we can go around the league and look at the teams and say, wow, they're really trying to win the MLS Cup. Or, I don't know. This looks more like a commercial venture to me. And the reason I say that is because, not to demean anybody, but it is a league that makes it conducive for investors to come in as these franchises continue to grow. And I'm not talking about players and coaches. All of them want to win, and there's great players and coaches in this league. But I do think there is differences in ownership, desire, competition, and the want to win things.
Glenn, you brought up we got to be careful with the American player. Number one, I totally agree. But selfishly enough, I like seeing Christian Pulisic at AC Milan. I like seeing Balogun playing overseas in France. I like seeing Timothy Weah over at Juventus along with McKinney. Tyler Adams in the Prem. You know, I know Gino Reyna bounced around between Dortmund and Nottingham Forest. And not to mention our Gargolian captain Turner with Crystal Palace. Do you think United States players playing in these bigger-ish leagues, do you think that helps the men's side as they go up against the juggernauts maybe in 2026?
Absolutely. Do you remember the time period where the commissioner of MLS was bagging on Klinsmann for telling players to take a chance, go to Europe, get into tougher environments, give it a try? He wasn't saying every American should and will be able to go to Europe. Of course you want Americans in the greatest leagues in the world. Mm-hmm. I never understood that, but that was kind of silly. That was something Klinsmann was correct on. And when I say that we have to be concerned about the American player, I'm not talking about the guys who go to Europe.
Right.
Everybody's ambition should be to play in the best league. I think every single guy in MLS that's an American player, his ambition should be to play in the best leagues in the world. Why would you want him on your roster?
Now, Glenn, first off, I appreciate...
The Houston Dynamo are very, very understanding that Jack McGlynn wants to get to Europe. And this is a watering station for him on the way there, potentially. But in the meantime, they want to get a lot out of him for their organization and help him achieve his goals. But I just mean from the standpoint of last year, when I looked at a Dynamo team once in a while and some of the teams in MLS, you know, they're only fielding a goalkeeper and a right back as an American. You know, you don't want the balance to get too far off, right?
Right. Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo, is our guest. You could also hear his radio show on ESPN 96.5 in Houston, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Soccer Matters with our good buddy Glenn Davis. Now, Glenn, I got two more things here, the latter half being a funner question. We're on the topic of United States soccer, and Glenn, I am, you know, my friends tell me I'm the biggest U.S. men's national team fan you'll ever meet. Glenn, I'm tired of the whole, it was all about, you know, the World Cup in 2022, 2023, whatever it was. Oh, it's all about Copa America. When we fail out of these competitions, it's always about the next thing. Glenn, when am I going to be able to hold my head high on something with the national team? We went through the players. We have the roster. When are we going to see this team break through with what we're calling our golden generation?
Yeah, well, I think it's right around the corner. It's called the 2026 World Cup in your home country. And if you don't achieve in that, it's going to be a big... Listen, that's what Pochettino's job is to get them deep into that tournament, right?
Right.
And I think realistically, you have to be looking at the semifinals. It's in your country. It's a comfort zone for you. I mean, we got the Gold Cup coming up this summer. That's another very important tournament that we have to see things occur for the U.S., but we have a manager now that everybody likes. It's not a kumbaya anymore. It turned into a kumbaya, both the men's and the women's national teams, frankly. I'm sorry, but it did.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
It became about everything else but winning, right? So I think we have two managers in there, Mauricio Pochettino and Emma Hayes, that are about meritocracy or about competition. And I think they've rebooted things. I think the comfort zone is about performance now. And I think there's things that Pochettino's going to do with this team that'll make it a little bit different than in the past. So I'm optimistic. And I'm optimistic that that U.S. soccer made, and they needed to make, two good coaching choices for sure.
Yep.
But they made two good coaching choices, in my opinion.
I love the Pochettino hire. I obviously things didn't really pan out for him over at Chelsea. I think there are a lot of other things going into that factor with Todd Boehly and the management there. I'm happy that that happened because that turned into him coming to the United States. Now, last thing here, Glenn. I hope this page isn't lying to me because I saw this and a light bulb hit because someone told me a story. Then take me back to 1988 and the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. Glenn, if I'm correct and the person who told me the story is correct, Chase Stadium, the stadium for Inter Miami, used to be that they renovated it, obviously. It used to be the stadium for the Strikers. Am I correct on that when you were playing?
Well, so look, I only played in a tournament called the Marlboro Cup with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. It was a time where the sport was really struggling. Wim Serbier was the coach. Thomas Rongen played in this tournament too. It was called the Marlboro Cup. Unam Pumas was in it, and there was a Salvadorian team. So I wasn't down there a long time. But there was a team in the USL when I played called the Fort Lauderdale Sun, and it was Lockhart Stadium. I don't think they built it in the same direction, but it's the same area.
Okay.
Yes. And Lockhart Stadium really was one of the premier stadiums, and it was just bleachers. But the reason it was such a great stadium was the surface was wonderful.
Absolutely.
It was like a golf course.
So, did you enjoy your time here in South Florida, partner? I'll tell you what. I did.
So I come down there a lot because my brother's family's there and my niece is down there. But I have always liked South Florida. I've had relatives there. When we were playing, it was a much different thing in the 80s. It was just a much different time. And for me to be able to go in stadiums after a 30-year career in television and see these places where it wasn't even a conversation that you would ever build a stadium for soccer back then.
Right.
So it's great. I was lucky. I grew up watching the Cosmos and Pelé and everything. And Fort Lauderdale had those great teams back then with Gerd Muller and all those great players. So, it's kind of full circle. And I think that's just called you're getting older.
Well, partner, if you come down here, if you make the trip for the away leg with Inter Miami and Houston, let's get you in the studio. We'll get you in the studio. We'll do a live segment. Sound good, partner?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, great. Glenn, thanks so much. Once again, Glenn Davis, play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo, former professional player. You can listen to his radio show as well, 97.5 ESPN, 9 p.m., or excuse me, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Soccer Matters with Glenn. Glenn, have a great call on the game, and can't thank you enough for joining us on Pink Smoke.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I got to tell you, for a 30-year-old man, you got a good soccer mind. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Glenn. Thanks so much, partner. That was Glenn Davis. As I said, we got to take a timeout. Folks, when we return, we will go around the MLS presented by Audi right here on the Pink Smoke. When you
see the pink smoke. This is Pink Smoke. Live from the ESPN West Palm Studios, here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, welcome on back to Pink Smoke. We just got done chatting with our good buddy, and now I could say friend of show, Glenn Davis. Glenn is the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo. He's been covering soccer longer than I've been alive. Former professional player. Really was a treat to have Glenn on this show. We previewed the matchup coming up between Inter Miami and the Houston Dynamo in Houston. Both of us will be on the call for our respected stations. Obviously, me right here on the Inter Miami Radio Network with ESPN 106.3. Glenn on the Houston side, 97.5 ESPN Houston. You can listen to his show as well, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays. Glenn talking soccer. Folks, it is now time, though, to go around the MLS driven by Audi. Driven by Audi. Folks, the road is calling. Embrace the thrill of the drive with the all-new fully electric 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron. Featuring effortless power, serious acceleration, and advanced Audi technology. It's not just a new electric vehicle, folks. It is a new way to experience driving. The Q6 e-tron is a premium midsize all-electric SUV that boosts an EPA estimated range of up to 321 miles, allowing you to get where you want to go and state-of-the-art style. The new chapter of Audi starts now. Test drive the Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com. Folks, that is AudiOffers.com. You're going to be driving around in style, baby, in the Audi. As I said, it is time to go around the MLS, driven by Audi. And folks, this was a record-setting first matchup week. How about that? A record-setting 46 goals were scored on match day one. Let that sink in. We talked to Glenn Davis about the league and how it's progressed and how American soccer has truly become respectable around the world. A record-setting 46 goals on match day one. There is no shortage of valuable candidates for the first team of the match day. So, folks, in other soccer leagues, they call it team of the week. This is in the MLS team of the match day, and none other than the great one, Lionel Messi, getting on the team of the match day. He was on the first team along with a plethora of other MLS players. There are a lot of players, too, folks, who had braces. Now, when I say brace, that's a soccer term. That means they scored two goals in a game. And the players who did have a brace were Anders Dreyer, Brian Gutierrez, Diego Rossi, Emmanuel Latilath, Jordan Morris, Marco Palsalic, and Ty Baribo. So there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were 7 players who had 2 goals in matchups in matchup week 1 in the MLS. That is very rare indeed. And all of them making that team of the match day, along with Lionel Messi, who had 2 assists in the game against NYC. FC. Let's head on over to the table on the MLS. Obviously, our Inter Miami CF Herons, they have 1 point after the draw, but there are a plethora of teams that did get wins. FC Cincinnati got the full 3. Atlanta United got the full 3. The Philadelphia Union got the full 3, as well as the Columbus Crew. So that's the Eastern Conference and all of the teams that have 3 points and are tied for the lead in the Eastern Conference. The Columbus Crew, Philadelphia Union, Atlanta United, and FC Cincinnati. Atlanta United recently brought in Ruben Amorim. Gosh, I apologize. That's the name of the Manchester United head coach, Miguel Almiron. Excuse me, Miguel Almiron. He used to play at Newcastle. As you can tell, folks, I'm a giant Manchester United fan. Miguel Almiron used to play for Newcastle. He got sold to Newcastle from the MLS, but he is making his return to the MLS this season with the DC United this year, or excuse me, Atlanta United this year. And he was able to get an assist in the game. And Emmanuel Latilath, I mentioned, had that brace. That's going to be a fun team to watch, folks, Atlanta United, throughout that year. The teams that picked up the draws, there are a lot of teams that drew in the Eastern Conference, obviously our Inter Miami Herons, but Charlotte FC, DC United, Toronto FC, Nashville SC, and then the New England Revolution. And obviously, I've already mentioned our matchup, NYCFC and Inter Miami. So those teams all tied for second place with the point. Let's flip things on over to the Western Conference. San Jose, Vancouver, Columbus, that's the Supporters Shield. I apologize. That's the Supporters Shield. We'll get to the Western Conference next week. As you hear that music, folks, that means it is time for me to go. Once again, that was Around the League, driven by Audi. Get to your local South Florida Audi dealership today. Drive around in style, man. Make a statement with a brand new Audi right off of the table. Actually, I have the Western Conference here in front of me now, folks. Let's quickly go through this. San Jose with the win. Vancouver with the win. San Diego with the win. Dallas with the win. Austin FC with the win. And LAFC with the win. Getting the draw, the Sounders, the Rapids, St. Louis, and then the rest, the Dynamo, Minnesota, Sporting, Galaxy, Timbers, and Real Salt Lake getting a loss. Folks, this has been the second episode of Pink Smoke. Thanks again to Glenn Davis, former player and play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo, joining the program. We will be back Sunday with the Houston and Inter Miami broadcast. We'll see you.